Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. What an exciting draft. I'm going to do the full draft recap for the Buccaneers, so strap in. This is going to be a good one. We're going to jump on the drafted players, the six that were drafted, and then we're going to get into the UFAs, and then we're going to go through there. We're going to talk about who's going to make the team, what their position's going to be on the team, who they're going to be competing with in depth, so get ready. Let's talk about Bill Curry first. Please visit us at BillCurryFord.com to see all of our amazing specials. Right now, we have employee pricing, which is the pre-tariff pricing that we did where the tariffs didn't happen. Now they're being delayed. You're actually getting the car less expensive than you would have prior to the tariffs. And right now, I have some 24s left over. I've got to make room for the 25s coming in. Not a gimmick. This is a real thing. We're doing up to $5,000 below factory employee pricing. So you can actually get the employee price, and then we're going to be lower than the employee price. Yes, that's correct. On all remaining 2024s, please visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See what I have left. Make your appointment. Come and drive the vehicle. You're never going to get a better price than right now, and your trade will never be worth more than it is right now. Just remember, don't worry, drive Curry. So, I am so upset after the draft. I mean, we had an amazing draft. We have a terrific general manager and a terrific team there at one buck. Unbelievable the grades that we're getting. And listen, I'm not grading drafts. You want to know why I don't grade drafts? I talk to you about the players that I think are good or bad, but I don't grade a draft because they've never played a snap in the NFL. How do you grade that? Basically, all these great pundits are going, Jason Light should have drafted this guy in the first round, either a corner or an inside linebacker or a pass rusher, not a wide receiver. So their grades that they're giving the Bucs aren't really based upon the player. They're based upon the player's position. Now, getting into that, no one knows the position that the team needs more than Jason Light. I don't think anybody would argue that. He knows what position he needs on this team. Not these pundits who like watch or listen to the Bucks every once in a while because they have to follow the whole NFL. How do you grade somebody? It's so irritating, guys. So irritating that guys would sit there and say we have a B draft or a B minus draft because we didn't get the player that they thought we needed for our team need. Best player available doesn't mean best player available for your team need. It means best player on your board. And apparently, drafting six players that are terrific football players, extremely productive in college, right? So this draft has a theme. One, Jason Light went with productivity over let's wish they're good players or let's project them to do this in the NFL and let's project them to do that. No, we went after team captains, solid individuals, top character guys for Tampa, the city that we live in, and then also humongous production in college football. And we're going to talk about that. I mean, all-time guys, all-time leaders in this, the best at that, the best they've ever been at their college universities. I mean, they put this together and they said, you know what we're going to do on a team, by the way, that's won four consecutive titles for our division. Four consecutive division titles. This is a good, good roster. And guess what? All six of these players are going to make the opening day roster. Write it down. It's done. These six guys are on the team, barring injury, of course. So how do you find six spots? You draft really, really good players, and that's what we did in this draft. This draft is going to catapult us to the next level. And I think we filled some positions of need, but I also think more than just need, we got great football players on this football team. And the reason why I started with that little rant was because I'm tired of the Jason Light hate when these guys don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea where our linebacker status is. I mean, I literally read a national, and I'm not going to say his name. You guys can look it up. This guy's a national pundit for the NFL, big name guy, literally wrote in his draft recap that the Bucs needed to add a linebacker to our inside linebacker core because Devin White is in a contract year and Levante David's about to retire. So let's just go. He probably didn't do too much research before he gave us a B-minus grade on our draft. He doesn't even know what players are on our team. So that's what I get irritated at. I put a lot of thought and energy and time into this podcast and about how I break down the players. I don't half-ass this. I spend a lot of time researching this, and I feel like the guys that do this for a living probably should do the same and not call it in. Drives me insane. The only thing they should be talking about the Bucks draft is these six players make a playoff team with four straight division titles. You're going to have a first, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh make this team. That is an incredible job, Jason Light, and your team. All right, with the first pick in the NFL draft, in the first round, we picked Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State wide receiver. So 6'1", 202, ran a 4.45 40. Those are all solid stats. He had 81 receptions for 1,000 yards, 12.5 yards per carry or per catch, and then he had 10 receiving touchdowns last year. So I'm going to be using a lot of material from all different kinds of sources that I will cite at the end of the podcast. I'm not going to go through that now, but I really did an in-depth look at this guy and what he's going to be able to do. So besides the fact that you had all these exceptional Ohio State wide receivers, Marvin Harrison last year, I don't have to go through them all. There's a million of them. Their names have filled the NFL for decades, right? Emeka is the all-time Ohio State leader as a wide receiver. He actually played next to Marvin Harrison Jr. and actually had his best season as a sophomore. That's an incredible thing, right? So let's talk about what he's going to bring to the team. He has a rare combination of elite long speed and technical route running. There's been a lot of pundits who said that he's probably the best route runner coming into the NFL this year. Natural hands, very rarely drops a ball. Again, we talked about he's a route technician. He has terrific tempo off the line of scrimmage. He really understands the positioning of a wide receiver against a defensive back coming off the line. He does a lot of subtle things like head and shoulder fakes. He's very good at stop-start. He has very sharp cuts at the top of his routes. He consistently creates separation through precise footwork. So this is a guy that studies his craft. He has an advanced feel against zone coverage. He has an innate ability to find soft spots in the zone. Very Chris Godwin-like. That seems to be the comparison that everyone has for him. He's electric after the catch, combining track speed with vision and instincts, honed in by a return game. So he is a kick and punt returner, but we're going to talk about that later. I don't believe that he's going to be doing that. He runs with competitive toughness. He shows a willingness to work through traffic. And of course, as you've listened to the Joe Bucks Fan podcast with Ira Kaufman, they talked about how his blocking ability and his willingness to block in the run game has been what a lot of the pundits have talked about. To me, that's great. That's like telling me that a quarterback with a great arm that can throw the ball down the field can also run for a first down every once in a while. That's about how much that means to me. But the fact that he's willing to help out teammates, that just goes to a character guy. Apparently, this guy has off-the-charts character on the way the Bucks do their draft board. He can be an immediate special teams contributor, but we'll see how the 19th overall pick, how much we're going to actually use him for that. We're going to talk about his RAS score, his RAS score, which is his athletic score. We've talked about this at 9.72. That's elite. So he didn't do all of the athletic testing, but he did enough to get a grade. His vertical, 38 inches with 8.85%. of the wide receivers tested. His 40-yard dash at 4.48 puts him in the top at 8.07. His 20-yard split at 2.57 puts him at 8.79 percentile. 10-yard split at 1.50 is one of the best times that for all wide receivers at 9.73 percentile of all wide receivers tested. His shuttle at 4.12, again, at 8.86 was the top percentile amongst wide receivers. So at 9.72, we got a hell of an athlete to go with the production that he had at Ohio State. 81.1% of his snaps were from the slot. As you know, Chris Godwin plays the slot, so it's going to be interesting to see how this works out since Chris Godwin made it very apparent last year that he wanted to play in the slot and he didn't want to play outside. So I think Emeka is probably going to be moved all around the wide receiver positions. He caught 60 passes for 785 and 9 touchdowns out of the slot. That's 2.41 yards per route. Many collegiate wideouts would have played secondary roles, but as I said before, when he played alongside Harrison Jr., he was still the best player on the field statistically. So there's a lot of guys that said Jason Light got a wide receiver, a starting wide receiver number two with the 19th overall pick. I think that that's a really strong statement when he hasn't taken a snap in the NFL yet. We don't know what he is. I think that's a projection. I'm not really big on projecting guys' production like that. I don't know if he's a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two. I think this year is going to be tough for him to show wide receiver one attributes unless we have an injury. But I think they're going to ease him into that role. So as a slot receiver, he also played Z, which was outside, an X receiver outside. His speed and ability down the field is also going to be a big key. I love his hands as well. So we're going to take a look at his versatility, right? So Egbuka's ability to play the slot and outside, just like I discussed, it could create offensive looks that Grizzard can really take advantage of in matchups, especially against third and fourth corners or even nickel corners. I mean, Amika is going to beat those guys pretty easy right off the line of scrimmage. He's known for his precise route running. We talked about that and finding coverages, ball tracking. He can high point the ball, playmaking after the catch. We already talked about blocker. We're not going to talk about that. His potential as a future starter, we discussed. There's a lot of people that believe he's going to be the fourth wide receiver, possibly the third wide receiver going into this year, with a development to become a number one wide receiver in the future. I believe that that's what's going to happen just based on his production. He was not only a standout football player, but he was also a baseball player, a five-star recruit and Gatorade Player of the Year in Washington as a junior in high school. Amika also earned a spot as captain on the Ohio State team in 2024, demonstrating the leadership qualities at a top, obviously, playoff championship contending roster. Amika was recruited by Bucks receiver Brian McClendon when he was in high school, and the two reminisced about those exchanges during the pre-draft process. So the connection that Amika had was already established with the Bucks receivers coach Brian McClendon. So that's a really key thing here. McClendon already knows what he's getting in Amika. He's the one that recruited him. They watched film together at the combine. They spent a lot of time together. The other top receiver on the board at the time that they drafted Amika was Matthew Golden, who was the wide receiver at Texas who ran the 4.3 that was drafted by the Packers later. Amika, apparently, between his athletic profile, his production in college, and his high character, scored higher on Jason Light's board than Matthew Golden did, or obviously Matthew Golden would have been the choice. After watching several clips with Jason Light talking about Amika, it appears that he was a top 20 pick, but a top 10 pick on their board after they took off some of the character concern guys, like the James Pierce Jr., the Mike Green. When you're taking those guys off the board, and they obviously, I don't believe that Jahad Campbell was on their board. That's my personal opinion. I don't think they gave him any consideration at 19. So if you continue to take those guys off the board, a player like Amika continues to move up. Now, one of the things that irritates me the most about this, listening to pundits talk, besides what I talked about earlier, was they were like, Jason Light just picking a safe pick in the first round with Amika Egbuka. It's just a safe pick. He's going to be a solid football player. Jason Light's just trying to pad his first round bust percentages, where this is a pick that if you picked, let's just say you picked a linebacker or you picked a corner or you pick a defensive pass rusher, they're going to say, hey, there's more likelihood that those are not going to pan out. That's a really interesting thing. I actually heard that on NFL Network. I heard that on ESPN talking about how Jason Light likes to play it safe. And the reason why he's had draft success was he's drafting high character guys that he knows are going to be at least an average football player or better. But he doesn't take chances to see if he can get superstars. That's all, to me, a line of BS. You want to know why? Because according to the NFL statistics, the wide receivers drafted in the first round have a lower hit rate, meaning they sign a second contract with the drafting team, which is often used as a proxy for long-term success, compared to positions like offensive line. They said 27% of wide receivers drafted in the first round make it to a second contract with the same team that drafted him. They have a bust rate of 73%. It's one of the highest bust rates in the first round is wide receiver. That's a safe pick? Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Jason Light didn't play it safe here. He said, you know what? I don't care about the bust rate of wide receivers in the first round. I had my first pick in Mike Evans, which is going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer now. That worked out pretty well for us. And now he picks another first-round receiver in Amika Egbuka, and we'll see how that works out. The only thing that's safe about this is that Jason Light looked at his board, he saw a top 10 player, and he took him. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. It was a shock to me. You know, there was a wide receiver chatter prior to the draft. I thought that maybe that was some misdirection, but apparently it wasn't. So I congratulate Amika on becoming a Buck. I think he's going to be a terrific Buck. I'm very excited about it. But again, this is not a safe pick at that bust rate. Jason Light went out on a limb and drafted this guy at 19, so he must really believe in him. And guess what? Jason Light's got a proven track record of drafting. We have four consecutive division titles to prove it with a roster that's mostly made up of all of his draft picks. Very few free agents, very few people that were not drafted by Jason Light or on this winning team. So I think this is another piece that adds to an offense that was top five last year. I think this might get us to that 32-point scoring percentage. We'll see. The next pick was Benjamin Morrison, 6'0", 193 corner out of Notre Dame. He ran a 4.39 40 when he was healthy. He had three pass defense, 20 tackles, and 14 solo tackles in a very limited, before his injury, very limited games. Here's a guy that go before his injury is a ball hawk, and we're going to talk about all of his turnovers that he had as a freshman and sophomore. The fact that he was one of the top finalists for every single cornerback award there was, and the fact that he played at a very competitive playoff Notre Dame team with a terrific backfield, very well coached. We're going to talk about all that, but I want to say again that Jason Light got another guy that prior to the injury would have been a top 10 NFL draft pick. That's how high everyone had him. Top 10, top 12. I've seen him I didn't even actually see him below 15 prior to the injury. So this is a guy that everyone said, when healthy, is the best corner in the draft. Jahde Barron's another guy that's in that conversation. But these guys are true guys. So I think the medical, as Lee DeKemper pointed out, the medical staff is going to be the key to understanding how well do they understand this hip injury. And that it was from birth, it wasn't an injury from football, that it was a corrective surgery to go along with the other two injuries that he had between the shoulder and the other side hip. And of course, you need your hips as a defensive back, obviously. But they obviously didn't have any concerns. And I'm going to talk about the connection that he had with the Bucs training staff. So they're going to go through, let's talk about him as a player first. He shows exceptional processing speed when reading route combinations. Consistently jumps underneath routes before quarterbacks and can hit their back foot. Possesses elite short area quickness that allows him to mirror receivers off the line. Maintains outstanding leverage and press and has quick feet and fluid hips to stay through sterns and breaks. Demonstrates rare ball skills for the position. Tracks the ball like a wide receiver. Has natural hands when attacking the catch point. Plays with controlled aggression and zone coverage, baiting quarterbacks while maintaining position to break on throws. He brings a surprising pop as a tackler despite his frame. Displays advanced route recognition, particularly against double moves. Rarely bites on fakes. Versatility to play both outside and slot positions effectively. Showed his consistency against spread offenses. Now, his fit in the Bucs offense is going to be simple. He's a starting outside corner. So he's going to compete with McClendon and Jamal Dean, if Jamal Dean is on the team after June, which I hope he is. The team is better with as many veteran quarterbacks as you can have on your team. So he's going to compete in that position. If he's healthy, I think he's going to be the best corner on the roster. I think he's that good. I'm very excited about this pick for the Bucs. This isn't something that we normally draft. We don't normally draft a ball hawk corner. And we can go through all the corners that we've drafted, but a lot of them had very few turnovers in college. I don't remember the last, like Hargraves had some turnovers at Florida, but of course, you know, he was a slot corner, not an outside corner, and he was drafted in the wrong position. And I think if you guys look, the Raiders game against Amari Cooper probably destroyed his career. But anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. So let's get back to Benjamin Morrison. His father, Daryl Morrison, played with Todd Bowles for the Washington Redskins in 1993. Obviously, Todd Bowles had a connection with this family, with Benjamin Morrison, knows what he's getting in this player. This is what Jason Light said. He's in a spot where I think he's going to be the full go by training camp. He could practice right now in OTAs if we needed him to. We're going to see how it goes when he comes in here, but we're going to take it easy. We're going to make sure that we're careful with him, but he's going to be ready for training camp. Everyone feels like that. He had the same injury on the other side, his other hip, back in high school, and it had been repaired. It's kind of like, from what we understand, once it's repaired and you've proven you can play on it, you're good to go. It's as healthy as he can be. Morrison was a consensus top 10 pick prior to the injury, and he held a private workout with three days before the NFL draft, which scouts were allowed to view him. Morrison stated he waited for the right time to get the hip surgery, waiting for his growth plate to close and not cause any further complications. A healthy Benjamin Morrison had 9 interceptions between 22 and 23, as well as 18 pass deflections. The former Fighting Irish defender, at the very least, will challenge, as we just talked about, Jamal Dean. Here's a guy that had interceptions, forced turnovers, 18 pass deflections. This is a ball hawk. This is a guy that is going to, when healthy, I think he's going to be a star for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I really think if you guys watched any Notre Dame games, I watch all college football. I think Lee's a big college football fan too. This guy was noticeable on the field watching Notre Dame. He was always in the mix of everything going on. And the offense is always, you know, tailored their plays and their offensive game plans for Benjamin Morrison. And again, this is that guy. When you're watching on film, he's the guy. He can bait the quarterback. He has incredible speed to close. He doesn't fall for ball fakes. The guy's super smart. I just hope he's healthy. That's really what I want, is I just want him to be healthy. I want him to have a chance to have a terrific NFL career, and I wish him the very best. Our next pick, going back into the defensive backfield, we drafted Jacob Parrish. He's 5'10", 191 pounds out of Kansas State. He ran a 4.35 40. That's correct. I did not stutter. 4.35. That's pretty amazing. He had an interception, 7 pass defense, 50 tackles, and 40 solo tackles last year for Kansas State. Let's talk about this guy for a second. He's an exceptional mirror press technique corner. He overwhelms average receivers at the line. He processes complex route combinations with veteran savvy, rarely fooled by misdirection. Elite click and close ability, shows natural anticipation jumping throwing lanes. He's mastered the subtle art of hand fighting through routes with drawing flags, disrupting timing with while staying technically clean and flag free, which I like. Brings immediate special teams value. We're not going to talk about special teams. Displays advanced spatial awareness in zones. Competes with surprising physicality against the run despite size limitations. Will stick his face and against bigger blockers. This guy is mean on the field. Nice guy on off the field, which is what you want, but on the field, he plays angry. He plays violent. It's almost like he's like, I don't care how big I am, I'm gonna punch you in the face. That's the way he plays. The feisty is like one of those words where you're like, okay, that kind of describes him. I like controlled violence. I've always liked that term. He just wants to hit you. He wants to take the ball from you. He's got something to prove. And you can see it on the film. He's like, everyone's told him, hey, you know, you're not big enough to play. That's what this is. And then all he does on the field is show you that he not only can he play, he can excel and dominate. And that's really amazing for him. His RAS score at 9.27 is pretty amazing. His vertical at 37.5, top 8.05%, so top 80%. His broad jump was 9.29, which is these are elite scores. 40-yard dash at 4.36 was 9.69 percentile. 20-yard dash at 2.55 was 9.21 elite percentile. 10-yard split at 1.53, 8.70 elite. His physical attributes are literally amazing. So Ira Kaufman's going to love this. He was a wrestler. He wrestled and played basketball. Super athletic guy. His experience in wrestling, I'm assuming, manifested his physicality and the way he can play with his hands and the way he gets in your face. He also wins a lot of leverage battles to be his size. This is what Mike Beal said. The first thing you start with is he's feisty as heck. Mike Beal is the president of player personnel. At 5'10", 191 pounds, he's a tough guy. He's fast and with the 100 to 200 meter state champion at Kansas. He played basketball, I believe, as well. And I know he wrestled when he was young. So obviously they feel like he's bringing a more physical presence. And again, another ball hawk. This is another guy that creates turnovers between him and Benjamin Morrison. And I believe that Parrish starts day one. I don't think there's a competition. I think he's that good. I think with his speed and the fact that he's going to be able to, and he also played receiver, by the way. So he understands both sides of the ball. What I think you're going to see with Parrish is I think you're going to see a guy that's going to come into training camp and turn heads quickly. And I think that his speed is going to be really something different that we're going to experience on the football field. And he's going to really help us in that nickel. And he can also play outside. I'm not going to rule him out as a starting outside corner. I think it would be unfair to him. But I think everyone's got him in the slot right now. And I think that's what people want him to play, especially with Smith being moved to possibly safety. I believe, this is my personal opinion, he will start the first game for the Bucs this year. And the weirdest thing about this guy is he had a second round grade with a lot of guys. Obviously we got him in the third round. He had a second round grade. You know what prevented him from being a top pick in the draft? He had the production. He has the speed. He has the ball skills. He has everything. He had 102 tackles, 5 interceptions, and 23 pass deflections in his career with the Wildcats. You know what prevented him? 2 inches in his height. 2 inches. So you're saying if this guy was 2 inches taller, he would be a first-round draft pick. If his arms were a little bit longer, he would be a first-round draft pick. I'm sorry. That's not enough for me. I think this is tremendous value for Jason Light. I think he got the guy. I think that Parrish was much higher on Jason Light's board than where he was drafted. And you're going to see a theme here because it seems like it keeps going for the Bucks on that, where we have higher grades than where we drafted him. And to me, that puts our draft top. I mean, that's a top draft in the NFL when you have guys that continue to fall to you. Our next pick, David Walker. He's a pass rusher out of Central Arkansas, 6'1", 263, ran a 4.69 40, had 10.5 sacks last year, 4 forced fumbles, 68 tackles, 45 solo tackles. He's super athletic. He made Bruce Feldman's freak list at 76. Walker had 66 tackles, 21 tackles for loss, and 12 sacks in 22. At 6'1", 260 pounds, he was the Atlantic Sun Conference Defensive Player of the Year. He ran the 4.65, which we just talked about. He had a vertical of 36 inches and power cleaned 374 pounds. He also squatted 615 pounds this offseason and benched 225 pounds with 24 reps. That is incredible strength, guys. If you don't understand what that math is incredible. This guy's super, super strong. And I'm going to tell you who I think his NFL comparison is. He possesses ferocious hand usage with developed toolbox, including two-handed swipes, rips, and swim moves that create separation. He has natural leverage advantage combined with explosive power, enables him to consistently win pad level. He runs angry in pursuit with a motor that never quits. He converts speed to power effectively, driving tackles backward. Demonstrates impressive lower body twitch and change of direction. This guy mentally on film seems like he knows where the ball is going before it's snapped. I think his IQ, his football IQ, is extremely high. I really think you see that on film. He had an 8.62 RAS score. His bench was one of the top benches for all edge rushers with the 26 reps. His vertical was 8.45 percentile at 35, which is excellent. 40-yard dash, 8.82 percentile. 20-yard split at 274, 8.06 percentile is elite. 8.62 overall, that's really terrific athletic testing. Walker dominated his competition. I mean, I think that Lee DeHemper really, talked about this in the podcast with Ira. But I'm going to go, I don't usually go to PFF for anything, but I want to talk about a couple of things that stand out to me. The grades don't really mean a lot just because a lot of the guys that do the grades actually are not professionals. So PFF relies on a lot of amateurs to get some of their grades. And plus, you don't know exactly what he's supposed to be doing at his position. Again, for an example, if you have him missing a tackle, you have him not winning a pass rush rep, you don't actually know what his job was on that specific down. You don't know what his job is in the defense. You have to really be specific about this. So that's why I don't put a lot into this. But this is interesting. He had the highest PFF pass rushing grade at 93.8. His PFF pass grade late in the game was 92.4, and his PFF rush defense grade by an edge defender was 92.6. The fact that he's over 90% and all on everything is pretty incredible. He had 82.5 tackles for loss over his career and 39 sacks across 4 seasons. Obviously, he's a little bit of an older player, but it's unbelievable. Unbelievable production Jason Light got from Walker. He's a shorter, compact build. We talked about that. The reason why I mentioned it was because he went into the Senior Bowl and he did extremely well at the Senior Bowl, and he really represented himself well. And as you know, Jason Light doesn't care about the Senior Bowl games. He cares about the Senior Bowl practices. And he practiced extremely well. Like, and he showed really strong bull rushes. And you can see that on YouTube. If you go back and you look at the Senior Bowl practices, watch him bull rush. It's pretty crazy when you see the leverage that he gets. It's almost like his height in this particular case is not a disadvantage. It's actually an advantage against the bigger players. My NFL comparison for him is James Harrison. James Harrison was a Kent State guy, small school guy, similar height, similar weight, massive production in the NFL. I think David Walker's a steal. I understand why they went nuts in the room when they got him in the fourth round, because he's really a second-round talent. I know that his arms aren't long, and I know that he's going to struggle. He plays the run extremely well, by the way. I didn't mention that. He literally plays behind the line of scrimmage most of the game, because of his speed and power and finesse. He has a combination of all of it. If the guy was 3 inches taller and had 34-inch arms, he would be a top 10 pick. So I know that he's going to get tied up sometimes on guards and some tackles. I know that's going to happen. They're going to get long arms on him. He's going to struggle to get off the blocks sometimes, just like Shaq Barrett, just like Harrison does. But here's the thing. You can't measure the fight in him. The guy plays with a motor that doesn't stop. He's relentless. He's not going to lock up on a tackle and just say, I'm out of this play. I just don't see that with him on tape. I think he's going to fight, and he's going to fight until the very last second of the play, and that cannot be measured. Bucky Irving, same thing. The reason why so many people missed on Bucky Irving was because we focused on his size and the offense that he played at Oregon, and we didn't focus on his heart and his want to. David Walker has want to. He's got it. He's going to give you everything he's got every play. I actually like that, because I almost feel like, just like Parrish, he's got something to prove on the football field. Give me a roster of 53 guys that have something to prove. Give them to me. I'll take them. Our next guy, Elijah Roberts, another pass rusher, 6'4", 285, ran a 4'7", 840 out of SMU, had 7.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 35 tackles, 17 solo tackles. This is a guy that had 93 total tackles overall in his career. Unbelievable guy. Started at Miami, had to transfer to get playing time. I think that he did every single thing the right way, and he really developed his pass rush. He really developed, as a captain of his team, leadership ability, the fact that he's going to be an extremely well-coached guy. He's going to listen extremely well. I think that he's going to develop very fast, and I think obviously they're moving him inside to tackle, which I think is great with his size, and the fact that his his side to side, his east to west foot movement probably isn't the best in open space, but on that line, I think he can dominate. This is a tremendously undervalued pick. I think Elijah Roberts is a guy that's being completely overlooked, and I really feel like Jason Light had a theme on this draft. I'm going to pick guys that are really high character guys, that can rush the passer, that play violent, that have a chip on their shoulder, that in the locker room are going to be leaders, they're going to be easily coached, and they're going to develop. This guy is a super high IQ for the football field. Again, just watching me on tape. Let's talk about some of his descriptions, right? He brings jarring power at the point of attack with heavy hands that consistently shock offensive tackles backwards. He's a terrific run defender. Again, David Walker is a terrific run defender as well. There's a theme there for Todd Bowles. He drafted two corners that are not excellent run defenders, but he came back and got two pass rushers that are really amazing run defenders. He possesses scheme versatility. So we're going to talk about, he can play all the positions, three technique, all the way across the line for the Bucs. So he can fill in. He's going to get some snaps, guys. Vea and Canty and then Hall, right? He's going to get in that rotation this year, and he's going to get, I bet you he gets 25 snaps a game. He converts speed to power with devastating efficiency, getting tackles on their heels before driving him into the quarterback's lap. Shows impressive counters when the initial rush stalls, including a particularly nasty arm over move that consistently created clean wins against single blocks. He brings tackle breaking power as a finisher. He's violent. He has violent collisions with tackles. Again, another theme from Jason Light. He wanted football players that bring a certain level of physicality to our team. His motor runs hot on all four quarters. Just like we talked about David Walker, this is a guy that doesn't stop. He gives you everything he's got on every play. I love the fact that we're going after these guys, because I think that that was Devin White's problem. Whole another podcast, just a quick sidebar. I think where we failed with Devin White was how much he loved football, that he didn't love football. And I think he's just a super talented guy, and you can see it on film. The guys that Jason Light seems like he's... So Jason Light's evolved as a drafter, right? He's not the same guy he was 5 years ago. He's getting better and better and better and better. And he's really dialing this in. And what he's looking for on tape is these relentless motor guys that love football, that love their teammates, that are terrific character guys, but then also have massive production and play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I know it's a lot to look for, but somehow they found it, right? So his RAS score at 8.36 is terrific. His weight at 285 was in the top 9.44 percentile. Vertical was below average. His broad jump was below average. I don't care about that for an inside defensive tackle. His 40 at 4.78 was the reason why he dropped at 7.35. They're saying he's not quick enough as an edge rusher, which is why he's not going to be an edge rusher in the NFL. He's going to be rushing from the defensive tackle position, and I think he's going to be extremely successful at it. He's going to fill that William Golston position with better pass rush, in my opinion. Logan Hall's also in a contract year, so bringing him in means that you're going to put some pressure on Logan Hall to have to add to his 5.5 sacks last year. But I think this guy's going to be a guy that's going to push and add terrific value to our rotation day one. Again, here's a guy that the Bucs never talked to, never sent anybody to. So this guy was under the radar for them. What an amazing draft pick, Elijah Roberts. I'm really excited to see him play. David Walker as well, where they're going to play. I think Elijah Roberts is going to get more playing time than David Walker, unless, to Steve's point, David Walker from day one is just better than everybody else on the field. Then you got to play him. You got to play him over Hassan Reddick. Even if he outperforms Hassan Reddick, if he's Harrison from day one and Reddick is there, or Yaya Diaby has to sit, you know, or Braswell is going to have to sit on the bench and not get snaps. Let the guys compete. Just like Steve said, let's see how good he is from day one. But I think Elijah Roberts gets in the rotation very, very quickly. Now, the next pick, Tez Johnson, the wide receiver out of Oregon, 5'10", ran the 4.54, obviously 159 pounds, which is what make him one of the lightest NFL players. Had 83 receptions, 898 yards, 10 touchdowns, 10.8 yards per receiving. He had over 2,000 yards receiving and over 20 touchdowns the last two seasons at Oregon, which is a top-tier program. He had Bo Nix throwing to him last year, which was obviously the starter for the Denver Broncos. And then the quarterback that he had this year, Gabriel, was a third-round draft pick this year. So he had good quarterback play, and he dominated his competition, even at 5'10", 159 pounds. If you listen to the breakdown of my wide receivers, I'm extremely high in Tez Johnson. I don't care about the measurables. I don't care about his 40 time. Watch the tape. Just watch it. He's much faster than everybody else on the field. He has instant burst. He has a jump cut just like Bucky Irving. That first guy has no chance. You might as well just go to the sideline if you're the first guy. If you look left, right, and you see you're the first guy about to tackle Tez Johnson, just give up. Just go, you know, I'm just going to go over here. I'm going to let somebody else get him because you're not getting him. I'm telling you, you can't get your hands on this guy. He's just bouncing all around. His spatial awareness, the way he can move in space, it's amazing. I don't care if this guy ran a 5.40. I don't care. On film, when you watch him, he dominates against top defensive backs in college football. Blows him away. This guy's a seventh round pick. Why? Why? Because he didn't run a 4.3? Because why? Because he doesn't weigh 180 pounds? Because they're worried about his durability? I understand that there are guys that were similar. DeSean Jackson comes to mind. He had a very long career. Tank Dell had some immediate success, and then he had the terrible injury last year. So it's really a mixed bag. I get that part. But you don't knock this guy's production. He's just an amazing football player. Crafty route technician. Manipulates with defensive leverage, masterful tempo changes, electric acceleration, change of directions, is elite. Shows exceptional spatial awareness. We talked about that. Vertical route running in Grizzard's offense. This is a test. I know we're going to talk about him as special teams. We're going to get to that in a second. I think they're going to have some place for him. I think you're going to see him surprise some guys. If you have him lined up in the backfield, if you have him doing some sweeps, you know, kind of like what they're talking about Amika doing, which he did well at Ohio State. He's going to surprise some people. I think if you plan this right, you give him two or three or four plays a game on offense, and you just design a couple of things for him, I think he's going to be spectacular. I'm not saying he's an every down top wide receiver. I don't know that yet. I haven't seen enough for that. What I can tell you is not getting him some plays on the offense would be a mistake, and just making him a return man, which, by the way, he's sensational at, because he makes that first guy miss. Remember, on punt return, the first guy is usually the guy you got to make miss, and then you can get 10, 15 yards. He can do that, and he can do that. He's natural at it. He's going to be a top return man. The Bucs have needed this guy for a very, very long time. After being drafted by the Bucs, Johnson openly declared that he wants to be a dynamic punt returner and a Swiss Army knife type of player capable of contributing on both offense and special teams. At the Senior Bowl, everybody said, oh, this little tiny guy that doesn't run fast 40. You know what he did? That NFL executive said he was unguardable. Unguardable was the word they used against elite defensive backs at the Senior Bowl. When NFL executives are saying, this guy, I know he's little, that's why he fell in the draft, but to sit there and say he's unguardable, are you going to tell me that he's not worth a mid-round draft pick? The fact that Jason Light stole this guy and got us a punt returner and a kick returner and a guy that can specialize in four or five, even the red zone plays this guy can give you. Off the line of scrimmage, if it's third and four, you're not going to be able to stop Tez Johnson off the line of scrimmage. He's going to be like, and Cooper Kupp is, by the way, 6'3". I'm not comparing the two as far as size or anything like that. Cooper Kupp has that when he was a young wide receiver, healthy wide receiver, off the line of scrimmage, he could just beat you so quickly. It's right off the line of scrimmage and then catch the ball and then run up the field. Tez Johnson has that same ability right off the line of scrimmage. You're not going to win against him. Now, of course, it also helps when his best friend is Bucky Irving, who's also on the Bucks. I'm sure he got that Bucky gave Jason Light a lot of information on Tez Johnson. I have something that I found doing my research on these players that I think it's worth looking at for everyone listening on Best in Class. And please send me emails at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with any questions or comments. Please leave me reviews on Apple and Podbeam. But Tez Johnson waited. There's a video, and you can watch it. He waited after the Ohio State win when they beat Oregon, and everybody's off the field. And Will Howard's, by the way, at the combine, Will Howard was unbelievable. He had this whole entourage of people behind him. So he was a very popular guy at the combine. So Will Howard's standing there doing an interview, and in the background, you can see Tez Johnson just patiently waiting. He's just standing there. You don't know what he's doing. And then as soon as Will Howard gets done with his interview, Tez Johnson walks up and looks him in the eyes and shakes his hand and said, good game. How do you measure that, Jason Light? How do you find guys that have that type of personality? That's a guy I want on my team. I don't care what he does for me. I want that guy on my team. Everybody else has left the field. And he wanted to congratulate Will Howard, who had an amazing game for Ohio State. And he wanted to go up and make sure that he knew that he admired him for the game. Class act, 100% class act. Obviously, I know that the Bo Nix thing and Bo Nix's family. Listen, whatever family was involved in Tez Johnson to make him the man that he is, congratulations to you guys, because he's a class act. I love his personality. He's very outgoing. And I think that he is so underrated. And I hope that the Bucs fans get to really see him shine during the mini camp. All right, we're going to quickly wrap up with talking about the undrafted free agents. We're going to shoot right through them. So the QB, Connor Bilzlack out of Bowling Green, right? Good pocket management, ability to work in a West Coast offense. He has experience in different offensive systems. He has extensive college experience at Missouri, Indiana, and Bowling Green. He was a captain of his team, and he's basically a game manager. He moves the chains, doesn't do anything spectacular. I think he's like obviously an interesting guy for just putting the ball in the right position. He's a very smart guy. He has a history of injuries, which I think is going to work against him. But is he more like a camp arm? He's probably more like a camp arm, but we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of guys that he would have to fight for to get a roster spot. Running back Josh Williams out of LSU. This was a very deep running back class. Again, LSU, he had 4 years there. which is interesting. He earned his spot through hard work. He was a walk-on. He was on the team for 4 years. Versatile, intelligent back, capable of producing on the ground and the air. Excellent vision on reading blocks. Effective in passing situations as a receiver and as a pass pro. Contact balance and agility in spaces. Not a super fast guy. He didn't have many explosive plays. But listen, here's a guy fits Jason Light's mold. Walk-on, hard-working guy. Baker Mayfield was a walk-on. So this guy fits what we're looking for as a person. I don't know about his talent as a running back, but he did play 4 years for LSU. Wide receiver Garrett Green out of West Virginia. He was originally a quarterback. He's changing positions to move to the NFL. He has quickness and ability. The Buccaneers hope to develop his athleticism. Through a lack of experience as a receiver, raises questions, but he brings good attitude, work ethic, and deep love for the game. Surprise. Mobility and speed and open field, competitive spirit and team mentality. He has no experience as a wide receiver. I mean, he's not very big. So he's a long shot, but he is changing positions. Let's see what he can do. Wide receiver Will Shepard, he's a guy I'm very familiar with out of Colorado. He was a transfer from Vanderbilt. He's a big, experienced receiver who excels at running intermediate routes and is a threat in the red zone. While he lacks elite speed, his ability to fight contested balls makes him a useful target on third down and inside 20. He's a specialist in traffic and red zone receptions, good route work, and separation at short spaces. I watched this guy for 2 years. The first year I watched him, he was very inconsistent with catching the ball. Last year, his hands were elite. Really, really good hands. He really worked hard on them. He doesn't have really great separation. So he's a guy that has to win with hand fighting. He's got to high point the ball. He's got to get out there and get the ball with the defensive back all over him. He's going to have trouble separating in the NFL because he had trouble separating in college. But he does make big, big plays. He is a guy that will run good routes, get open as best as he can, and then if you throw him the ball, he'll catch it. I think he's an interesting guy for camp, but with this wide receiver room being so deep, I think there's not much of a chance for him. Tight end Anthony Lampier out of Memphis, really interesting guy. He wasn't able to take advantage of an extra year of eligibility with the NCAA. He was turned down, but he did have some interesting time at Memphis. He's physical and reliable, capable of blocking and serving as a pass-safe option. Has good hands for short passes. He's not going to really, you know, have a lot of top-end speed to get open. Terrific blocker. So this is a guy that Dirt is going to be looking at as a blocker, I'm thinking, bringing him to camp and seeing if there's anything there. He probably needed some more time to develop, but we'll see. Here's a guy that has a chance to make the team. An offensive lineman, Jake Majors, out of Texas. He was a rock in the middle of the offensive line. He had 56 consecutive starts at Texas. At Texas, which, as you know, competed for a national title. His durability and leadership are top-notch. He stands out for his football intelligence, ability to anchor the offensive line, ideal for teams looking for stability on the interior. His strengths are a high football IQ, his adaptability and protection. He's a leader on and off the field. He did play center, too, right? So this is a guy that I think they're going to try to develop probably at guard and at center to give them depth since, you know, we lost our backup center in the offseason. But here's a guy to keep an eye on for those who are listening, Jake Majors out of Texas. Solid football pedigree, lots of starts, veteran guy. Speaking of that, Ben Scott, another center out of Nebraska. He was Nebraska's top interior lineman at 6'5", 288 pounds. He combined size, toughness, and athleticism. He posted a 4.83 40-yard dash. He finished his senior season leading the team in tackles. So really interesting for his tackles, right? Good first step in lateral agility, strength in the trench game, high durability and consistently. So I don't know. I don't really know much about Ben Scott. So didn't do much research on him. So I'm interested to see him in camp and see what he can do. Tackle Ben Chukwuma out of Georgia State. I think he made the news because the Bucs made him the highest paid undrafted free agent signee with giving him $300,000. He's a Nigerian, arrived in Tampa as an offensive tackle with good physical potential at 6'6", 303 pounds. He combines length over 83 inches with a wingspan with adequate athleticism with 11 starts in 2024. He was a key part of that line at Georgia State that only allowed 18 sacks as a whole. So this is a very big man. He has experience playing left and right sides of the line. Obviously, the Bucs felt like they found something in him they can develop. Familiar to Dotson. Joe Bucs fan did an amazing article about that. So please look that up and read about that. The next guy is defensive tackle Desmond Watson, a guy as a Florida fan, I watched him quite a bit. He's very fascinating. He's 6'5", 460 pounds. He is losing weight right now to try to get down to have some more lateral movement. He dominated in the trenches for obvious reasons. He took on double teams. They couldn't move him. They couldn't do anything. When he's in the game, he doesn't really move very well. So what he does is he just takes up a bunch of space and screws up the offensive play. You really have to design the running play away from him, because if you run anywhere near him, the play is going nowhere. So in short yardage situations, let's say goal line situations, this is the guy you want in the goal line situation. You're not going to, on fourth and one, you want Desmond Watson on the field. You put him next to Vea and let's just say Logan Hall with good size, and now we have Elijah Roberts. I think that they're going to find a way for Desmond Watson to make the team as long as he can learn the defense. But he's just a guy that I think if you put him on the practice squad, he's going to get taken. I think people are going to need him later in the season when injuries start to happen. But he's, like I said, very dominant at his position when you're running at him. Now, if you run away from him, he's not running you down. You don't have to worry about anything, right? So again, goal line, short yardage situations, you're getting gashed in the run game. He'll stop it pretty quickly. I think it's really interesting. And then the next one is linebacker John Bullock out of Nebraska. He joins the Bucs to learn from the greatest, obviously, Levante David. After remarkable progression under Matt Rhule at Nebraska, he recorded 70 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, one interception for a touchdown, and he has five passes defended in his final season. He played extremely well against Shador Sanders in the Colorado, if you want to watch that Nebraska-Colorado game. He has solid defensive instincts and ability to cover in space, so he does cover extremely well. He has an excellent track record as a special teamer. So keep an eye on him for a guy that, because of the new special teams rules where we're going to have returns this year, you're going to need guys that can actually make plays on special teams again. And John Bullock is one of those guys that gives us linebacker depth, coverage linebacker depth, and then because he obviously plays off the ball linebacker, but he can also excel on special teams. And here's a guy that doesn't take any plays off, right? Another guy that I think fits kind of like what Jason Light's looking to. Another captain on his team, another guy that doesn't take plays off. Cornerback Roman Parody out of Ohio. I don't know much about this guy. He was a rotational piece in Ohio before becoming a starter in 2024. He posted a career-high 51 tackles, 2 fumble recoveries, and 11 pass defensed. He had demonstrated a knack for pressure situations, enduring himself to Bobcat fans. He's aggressive in tight coverage, good explosiveness. He ran a 4.5, 240. But here's a guy that needs a lot of technical development, only 1 year as a starter. Pretty lightweight by NFL standards, so that's more of a developmental guy. Shiloh Sanders out of Colorado, he's a safety. I don't really need to speak much about this guy. You guys all, everyone knows who Shiloh Sanders is. I was interested to see that Todd Bowles talked about him as if he had already made the team, which I thought was interesting. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, please look up Todd Bowles' comments on Shiloh Sanders. And I know that Todd Bowles likes Deion a lot, and I know that he knows Shiloh well. So my problem with Shiloh is that he tries to make these big hits and misses tackles. So he is a good tackler. But the problem is he's always trying to make, like, the splash ESPN play. Just make the basic play. The best advice I can give him, if I could talk to him right now, I'd say, hey, listen, you have this. You have size and speed. You've been doing this your whole life. You understand defenses. You understand offenses. You come from a pedigree that you've been raised in the football family. You're extremely high IQ. Do yourself a favor. Just let the game come to you. Just let it come to you. And play the game that way. Don't try to outdo the name. And I know that's really hard because he's going to want to put Sanders' name. Like, he's got a lot to live up to. And I'm telling you, all he's got the physical tools to do this job. Stop trying to make the spectacular play. Just make the routine play and see what happens to your career. You'll make a football team and you'll do well. Make the routine play. J.J. Roberts is a guy at safety out of Marshall. There's a lot of people that believe he should have been drafted. He was an explosive player in their secondary. He's been trained at cornerback and safety. Gives you a lot of versatility. Great range and coverage. Tireless engine. Again, there's a theme there. Doesn't take plays off. Ability to perform at a single high or intermediate zones. There's a lot of people that believe he should have been a fifth, fourth round draft pick, and he fell out of the draft. So I think it's a lot to do that with the depth, but I would keep an eye on J.J. Roberts. I mean, he might sneak onto the practice squad. He's pretty physically explosive. I think he just needs some more coaching. We'll see how he does. I'm not going to talk about kickers. Running back Tyler Eckerly out of Mount Union Football. I don't know anything about this guy. I'm just going to read what it says about him when he signed on with the Bucs. Explosive running back. He arrives as a walk-on to minicamp after a legendary career. He led Division III with 1,700 yards, 30 touchdowns, 7.1 yards a carry, 4.4 speed. He has great vision, acceleration, impeccable work ethic, surprise. His dream is to make his way into the NFL with hard work and passion. A lot of the stuff I read about this guy, I didn't do any research and I didn't scout this guy at all. But there's a lot of really good things to say about him as a guy to watch in training camp. That running back room is pretty deep. Quarterback Jordan McLeod of Texas State Football. He's been at four D1 programs. He's a guy that transfers a lot. He has 3,200 yards and 30 touchdowns in 2024, over 70% completion. He's dual threat at running and throwing. He has terrific accuracy, short, intermediate passing. He, again, with four different D1 teams, has a lot of experience. I'm interested to see the Bucs signed these like two quarterbacks. Technically three, that one's moving to wide receiver. So they got some camp arms, so we'll see what happens after that. So that concludes the Buccaneers draft with the with undrafted free agents as well. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Please leave me reviews at Podbeam, Apple Play, on Joe Bucs Fan. Again, send me emails at bestinclass@billcurry4.com with any questions or comments. Thank you guys for all the support for the podcast. I really appreciate it. Again, follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all your social media sites. We're now on TikTok as well, which is very exciting, and Meta, of course. And visit us at the website. Look at the 2024s that we have left at BillCurryFord.com. You can shop 24 hours a day. We have free mobility and pickup and delivery for our service department that you can schedule, which is really unique for our store. But those 24s need to go. I'm going up to $5,000 below factory pricing. Some of this stuff is below wholesale. I need to get rid of it. I got to make room for new cars coming in. So if you have any questions or comments, again, you can email me at bestinclass@billcurry4.com. I'll see you guys next time, where I'm going to be breaking down the whole NFC South, and I'm going to go division by division through the summer. We're going to talk about all the draft classes and all the rookie players, and we're going to talk about rookie minicamp. I'll see you guys next time.